Amen. Mark 11, verse 22, this morning, the Lord just dropped this on my heart a few days ago. And Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Amen. Somebody say that with me this morning. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Very, very simple this morning. But sometimes, as we heard Wednesday night, the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we often overlook the simplicity of things, and we get involved in things that are more complicated than what God really intended for us. But I want to look at it here this morning, and let's pray together. Let's ask for the help of the Lord today. Lord, we thank you for the word. We thank you for this great opportunity to be in the house of God. We ask you this morning, anoint your word and speak to every heart that's listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. And let's get right into the word of the Lord. I wanted to try to dissect this thing called faith a little bit and help us all, even the young ones, the little ones, helpfully to understand a little bit more about what it means to walk by faith. And whether we admit it or not, all of us have faith in certain things. There are certain things in our life that we have faith in, we trust in, we have confidence in. Many times it is the job that we're on, the car that we drive, the money that we have in the bank, loved ones, church, and the list can go on and on here this morning of things that we have confidence in, that we have faith in, that we trust in. The word faith here in Mark chapter 11 that we read means reliance upon. I just pulled that out of a little bigger definition, but this really means to rely upon. And that which we rely upon, I want to start digging a little bit deeper here right at the beginning. The thing that we rely upon becomes the object of our faith. Amen. It becomes the very thing that when we look at it, we say, I trust that, or I trust you, or whatever the case might be. And what we rely upon ultimately becomes the object of our faith. Israel began to rely on other gods, and eventually they began to make idols, and their idols were the object of their faith. But we know that idols can't speak and they can't do anything. Amen. So they were very, very foolish. And there are many, many places in the Bible where faith is spoken of. And it gives us a little bit of an understanding of the importance of faith and what is faith. Amen. And Paul spoke of this in Hebrews chapter 11, and faith in the right object is very, very vital for us if we want the right results. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, and here it talks about faith, and it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All right, so this thing called faith has two parts to it, two elements, if you want to call it that. One of them is substance. Somebody said substance. And the other one is called evidence. Somebody said evidence. Evidence. All right, the words that Paul used there, the word evidence, or I'll just start with substance. The word substance here is a setting under. It means to support or to concretely support. So substance When we talk about substance, we talk about something that has the goods. Amen. Something that is strong, that is able to do what it says that it will be able to do. And so it becomes a foundation. It becomes the very thing that we set our life upon. And faith is the substance of our walk with God. Well, praise the Lord. It is the foundation upon which we stand. And this morning, if we put our foundation in, our government, we're going to be disappointed. Because there's not a lot of substance there. There is some, but not what we need. Amen. If we put our faith in our material possessions, we're seeing right now where folks are panic buying. Amen. Because that which they had faith in is shaken right before their very eyes in just a matter of a few weeks. And I read in the scriptures where, where the trouble and the judgment of God is going to come upon our world as a snare. In other words, it's going to be just like that, and the trouble will be upon our world. Amen. I want to have some substance in my walk with God. Not just my walk with God, but I want to have some substance in my life. Amen. And substance, evidence. Everybody said evidence. Evidence. All right, evidence there, the very word means proof. Amen. That is evidence or proof. So we can have a solid foundation, or we can say this morning, that we have a solid foundation, but we must have proof that it is a solid foundation. Do you get what I'm talking about here this morning? Amen. The substance of faith is in what we trust in, the object of our faith. Amen. And so we have to ask the question this morning, does my faith, whatever it is, whatever I have faith in this morning, does it have a solid foundation? Is there substance to what I believe? Is there substance to the way I live? Is there substance to the things that I have? Is it a solid foundation upon me? Or under me, rather, and then is there proof that this is a solid foundation? Is there proof that what I believe is what I say it is? Amen. Because the substance of faith here is in a question form this morning. I want to put it in a question form. Does the thing that you have faith in really have a solid foundation? Not necessarily that you say it does, or necessarily that you believe that it does, but does it really have the foundation that you are professing this morning? Amen. I can have faith that my bank account has $100 in it, but does it really have the financial foundation, amen, to withdraw that amount? When I'm in need, is there going to be $100 in there? Some people, if you don't know about checkbooks and all that, just ask your parents when you get home. They'll explain the whole thing to you. Praise God. And I knew someone that would call the bank, and they would say, "What is my balance?" Well, they had already written checks during that week, and some of those checks had not gone from or gone through the bank and had been subtracted from the balance of the checkbook, and the bank would give them the balance, and then they would go out and spend according to that balance. Well, I believe there's money in there. I just have a feeling that there's money in there. That's not a very good foundation upon which to build your financial future. Somebody said amen. Amen. And if you look at the account statement, amen, you've got to look at the account statement. You've got to balance that thing. And what that simply means is you've got to find out exactly where you are. How many wants to really know exactly where you are? Amen. Half of us, praise God. I thought that's what it would be. Amen. How many of us wish that we had $1 million? Amen. Just about every hand goes up. But don't start spending like you have $1 million. Praise God, because you don't have any substance to your belief. Amen. Somebody said, my pastor used to tell the story of the two men that were sitting beside the road, and one of them said, boy, I wished I had $1 million. And the other one said, if you did, would you give me half of it? And he turned to him and said, no, lazy, wish for yourself. Praise God. And that's the way it is with a lot of people in our world. They're wishing, they're hoping, building their future upon winning the lottery or something like that. Amen. And they're talking about giving everybody money from the federal government. I tell you what, I'm really nervous about all that. And if you're financially in trouble, you're probably excited about that. But the truth of it is that money has got to come from somewhere. Amen. We've got to have some substance behind that dollar bill. There's got to be proof that it is worth something other than the paper that it is printed upon. Amen. And so our world is on a very shaky foundation right now financially. Our world is in a very shaky place morally, amen, and it seems like that we are on some sort of a shaky foundation as far as health is concerned, amen. Our world is in big trouble, praise God. Our world is in big trouble, and I don't want to paint a negative picture here this morning, but the truth of it is that when you want to know what your financial statement is, you've got to go to the bottom line. Amen. And the bottom line will be exactly where you're at. Amen. And I used to not like that, but now I like that. Amen. I want to know where I'm at, and I want to know what it really is, because I want to sleep good at night. Amen. If there's only $5 in there, at least I'm not under $5. Amen. If there's just a little bit in there, praise God, I can sleep well at night knowing that everything is all right because I have evidence. Somebody said evidence. I have evidence. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need to have some evidence. Amen. And he's talking about faith here. Have faith in God. Matthew 7 and verse 24. And through verse 27 this morning. It says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Amen. Very familiar stories that we use in Sunday school for the children because it's very simple, it's very easy to understand. But what we can gain from this morning is a little bit more about substance and evidence. Amen. The first man had an object of his faith, just like the second man. Every one of us have an object of our faith, the thing that we depend upon. And his first point of faith, this man, his first point of faith was substance. Amen. It was the substance of things hoped for. Substance, again, is the foundation. He wasn't interested in just believing that something was so. He was really wanting to get down to the truth. And so I believe, and Scripture doesn't tell us here, I believe he got an engineer or he got some counsel from some friends. And they came and they looked at the land, the property in which he was going to build on, and got an answer from them as exactly what they needed to do or what he needed to do. And the answer came back, there's a lot of sand on the top. You cannot build upon that sand. You must dig your foundation very, very deep. Amen. And that's costly, and it takes time. And he could have said, well, I can't afford that, or I don't have time for that. A myriad of excuses could have come down. But he obviously said, well, if that's what I need to do, I'm going to do it. And his point of faith was substance. It was his foundation. And he got down to the bottom line. I want you to know this morning, if you have substance in your walk with God, it's going to cause you to dig deep until you hit the rock. Amen. You're not going to be playing games with God. You're not going to be casual and apathetic about the work of God and the kingdom of God and the church. Amen. But you're going to be excited about it because that's the faith. That's the object of my faith. Praise God. And digging deep costs a lot. Digging deep takes a lot of energy and a lot of brain power and a lot of back power and all of that. Amen. It just takes an awful lot. This part of faith gets down to the bottom line of what it really means to build a house. Amen. Not just a house, but a strong house. Amen. A house that has evidence. Amen. There's going to be a time when it's going to be proven. And I want to talk about that here in just a minute. But the wise man looked ahead. He looked ahead to possible troubles. The troubles of wind and rain, and chose substance over personal feelings. If you go to get your license as a licensed contractor, and I did that a number of years ago, there are charts in the code book, and the charts show different zones of cold and hot and different zones of wet, and they've already laid all of that out. And if you're in a particular zone, you have to dig so deep for a foundation. And if you don't, it's against the code, and it will not be right. And they can make you do it over. The world understands this thing of substance. Amen. I want to build a house, but I don't want to just build a house. I want to build a house that's on something strong. Praise God. And so he dug deep at tremendous cost, dug deep at tremendous energy, because his faith was founded upon that rock. Amen. If I can get to the rock, if I can get on the rock, then I know I'm secure and I can sleep well at night. And so the substance of this man's faith brought about evidence. Somebody said evidence.
Evidence.
Praise the Lord. Right. Evidence. And the evidence came when the winds blew. The evidence came when the storms blew. When the floods came and they beat upon the house. And Jesus talked about that. And he said it stood. It stood the test of the strongest wind and the strongest wave that could come against it. And so there was now evidence. Amen. There was evidence that this was the proper thing to do. There was now evidence that this was the right thing to do. And probably for years and years to come, his experience was written down in a book and said, if you're going to build a house here, you've got to dig down X amount of feet. Terrible thing that happened in Japan with that new tsunami that came through and destroyed their power plants, and we're still dealing with that, and they're going to be dealing with that nuclear waste for another 40 years before they get it cleaned up, and they're dumping water that is nuclear water into the ocean by the tune of some 300 tons per day. And it's going to go on for 40 years because somebody didn't go to the book and look and see what evidence we have about building this here on this spot. Excuse me. And the book that they have was, or that they, yeah, they still have, or that they had at the time of building, was stones. And there were stones, there are stones that are placed at strategic locations along the shoreline of Japan. And they're set up high, and the stones read, do not build below this point for the great tsunamis that come through. And they say that those stones have been there for 200 years. And the ones that went before have applied the evidence of the flood and of the tsunamis that came through and said, this needs to be your building code right here. Don't build below this. But because the winds were soft and because the blue sky was there and the sun was shining, they thought everything was all right. Folks, we can't afford to do that in our walk with God. We cannot afford to do that. And the winds blew and the floods came and beat upon his house, and it stood through all of the troubles. I believe that we can stand through all of our troubles. Amen. Because we have substance and we have evidence here this morning. Praise God. And when it was all said and done, the sun came out. Praise God. It's a wonderful thing when the sun comes out. I remember pastoring on the East Coast, and there was a time when we had fog and we had cloudy overcast for several weeks. Amen. And it was just the type of weather that was coming through. But when the sun came out, oh my, what a difference, what a change it made when the sun came out. And the sun is going to come out, praise God. The sun's going to come out on your situation. Don't be afraid. Don't worry. Have faith in God this morning. Amen. Have faith in God. And yet there's another side to the story, and it's about the man who built his house upon the sand. And let's look at this for a moment here this morning. This man had substance as well. And but his substance was quite different than the first man because it was not based upon fact or experience or evidence. It was built upon greed, and it was built upon his lust and his desire to build a house quickly. The engineer probably gave him the same answer as a lot of people do when the building inspector comes around. I have to do what? You can't be serious. And folks try to cut corners on that and not do what the inspector says. And so the inspector came along and looked it all over and told him, you've got to dig down to bedrock. This place is very shifty. It's not secure. It's not solid. You're going to have to dig down if you want a solid house. He probably had some neighbors that had built their houses the same way, just building on the sand. And he looked at them and said, you know, I'm just going to build on this sand. I'm just going to take my risk and I'm going to do it this way. A lot like our world today. They're not looking at evidence, but they're just looking at their own feelings. Praise God. We are right now in America some $22 trillion in debt. And they are talking right now about a $2 trillion stimulus package where they are going to print another $2 trillion. I don't even know what that is. $2 trillion. A billion is 1,000 millions. And a trillion, I think, is 1,000 billions. That's more than I make in a year. Amen. More than you make in a year, probably. Praise God. And if you do make that amount, amen. Just make sure you pay your tithes and give an offering. Amen. Somebody smile just a little bit. Praise the Lord. And he got the same answer, but what he was looking for was someone to pat him on the back and say, you're doing okay. He wanted somebody to say, oh man, I know that engineer. He's hard-headed and he always wants to go the second mile. You're going to be all right. Just build your house on the sand. Amen. We're building our house upon the sand of a paper dollar that is only worth 10 cents probably. And we are building our future upon something that somebody said, don't worry about it. I'm a very educated person. I've come from Harvard. I've got a degree. And don't worry about it. It's going to be all right. But I'll tell you, folks, we've always got to go back. I hope you're listening this morning. We've always got to go back to the Word of God. And it is the Word of God that will stand the test of time. It always has, and it always will. Praise God, we have evidence of that this morning. He said, I'll get it up quicker, I'll get it up cheaper, and I can relax and watch the dirt coming out of the hole that my neighbor's digging to get down to bedrock. Amen. He had already got the footing, or not the footing, but he'd already got the floor laid in there. He was putting up the walls, and he stopped for a little bit of a break. And he looked over where the hole was that his neighbor was digging, and he saw some dirt fly out. He couldn't see him because he was down there too far. And when it came time for his break, all you could see was his head pop out and look around out of that hole. And then his head dropped back down, and you'd see another pile of dirt coming out. Amen. Almost like a badger digging a hole in the ground. And he probably laughed in his mind and thought, what a fool he is. What a fool he is. He's spending all of his time going to church. Well, praise God. Spending all of his time reading his Bible. Spending all of his time in prayer. Spending his time with those things that are just written in a book. Amen. But here we have opportunity around us. Here we have all these things. Everybody else is doing it. Amen. Everybody else is being blessed right now. But I'm telling you what, the man in the hole was the one that was right, and the others were not right. Praise God. And so he relaxed. He was feeling good. Amen. He spent the extra money that he would have spent on the foundation on making the house pretty. Amen. Pretty paint, pretty decorations on the inside. All of that. And I'm not speaking against decorations and all of that. Amen. I think we need to make our homes nice. And I think we need to have the house of God nice. If we can. Praise the Lord. And he was feeling good. But his substance was about to be tested. There was going to be a test of the evidence of his ways. And the winds came and the waters came and they beat upon the house. And suddenly there was evidence. Amen. Because as the rains, as the waters began to rise, all of a sudden the man in his house heard a creaking in the wall. And he thought, what was that? I never heard that before. And then all of a sudden there was a crack, a loud crack as the sheetrock broke. And he thought, my word, what in the world is happening to me? And then there was another crack and another one. And then all of a sudden he felt his house kind of moving like this. And he had to brace himself or he was going to lose his balance because the house was lifted up off the sand and it was now tipping and rolling to the waters. Praise God. I hope you're not listening to the messenger, but the message here this morning. And you know the rest of the story. The house was destroyed, and the evidence came back. Don't do it this way. Amen. Don't do it this way. And as we go through life, and most of you know this, there's going to be many times of trouble. But that isn't the thing to think about as much as what your life is going to be built upon. Amen. And what will happen when, everybody said when you face the storm of an eternity without God. Because it's coming. The floods are coming. Amen. It will happen. The day is appointed and the evidence is there. We will stand before God someday. And our excuses and our reasonings and our evidences are not going to be enough to persuade the Lord to change His word for us. Amen. There's going to be a lot of destruction. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25. Turn there with me this morning. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escaped who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Now think about that this morning. The Lord is going to shake the heavens as well as the earth. And you read in the book of Revelation, and it says that the stars of heaven will be cast down to the earth, and it says that the heavens will roll up like a scroll. Amen. With a loud noise. And he goes on and he says, this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. God's going to shake everything to see where the substance is.
Amen.
Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, look at that. The thing that we're involved in here this morning cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Somebody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know you're with me here this morning. And this day is going to come. It's going to come, friend. It's going to come upon the whole world as a snare. And what we labored for, what we have built upon, the foundation of our life, is literally going to be tested by this storm that is brewing. Amen. The storm that is gathering, as somebody wrote one time, the gathering storm, writing about World War II. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And I'm going to finish here in a moment. Just hang with me. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. And it says this: "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." We understand, we know that scripture. "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. For, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless." Praise God. What a sobering scripture there. What a sobering group of scriptures that we've just read. Amen. There is going to be a dissolving of everything that is not of God. Everything. It's going to be tried by fire. Amen. Whatever we have built upon is going to be tried by fire. And what is the answer to all of this? Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. That's the answer to our dilemma today. You say, well, Pastor, that's very simple. No, it's very profound, because when we have faith in God, we have substance and we have evidence.
Amen.
Amen. Let the substance underneath your work be faith in God. Let your labor for Him, amen, that you're building for your future, amen, let it be upon the Word of God and the will of God. And when you labor for Him and live your life for Him, it will cost you more, but the evidence will be clear. Amen. The evidence will be clear when the storm comes.
Amen.
1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. Another sobering scripture here this morning, but a very positive scripture for those that are walking with the Lord. Every man's work. Somebody said, every man's.
Every man.
Turn to your neighbor and say, that means you. That means you. Every man's work. Whatever you do, whatever you're laboring for, whatever you're trying to establish, what you spend your money on, where you go, everything about our life. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. There's going to be evidence. Amen. We can talk the talk right now, but the day is coming when everything will be evident.
Amen.
There will be evidence. It will be evident. Amen. There's a parable. Well, let me read the rest of the scripture before I get off there. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Amen. Whatever we built upon is going to be tested by fire. And whatever we have built and whatever hopes we have had in this life is going to be gone. You say, well, Pastor, should I not build a house? I'm not saying that this morning. But I'm asking you, what are you having faith in today? Amen. What is your foundation this morning? Because the old pastor is saying this morning that the day is coming when the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The elements. Amen. Go to the table of elements and you'll see that copper is going to melt. That's pretty hot temperature. Gold is going to melt. Silver is going to melt. Everything that we see around us is going to be burned up. It is going to be dissolved, as the scripture says. Amen. And so what we've got to do is look at our life. Amen. That we be diligent, that we may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Praise God. And I've got to ask the question this morning to the young and to the old. What are you building your life upon?
Amen.
What is the foundation of your life? Amen. The foundation needs to be faith in God. And when it's faith in God, there's going to be evidence.
Amen.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Here's the key scripture, the greatest one. Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. That's everything.
Amen.
He says, love the Lord. But I'm telling you, when you love God like that, that's the object of my faith this morning, is God. It's the Lord. Amen. Faithfulness to church. And of course, in these times, that's all with an asterisk beside it. Supporting God's work, ministering to others, living a holy life, leaving the world behind and following the star that will lead us to Jesus. Amen. And there's one question before I close. Sister Reed, would you come this morning? One question as we stand together. God bless you this morning. You're a great group of people. I love each and every one of you dearly. The question is, what do you have faith in today? What is your faith founded upon today? If everything were to be taken away and destroyed and it would fall and be gone like Job, where would your faith be? What would be the words that would come out of your mouth? What would be in your heart? Oh, Job fell down. He rent his clothes. Friend, he was in distress. He was stirred up. He was upset. He wasn't angry, but he was just really, really upset. And the Bible says he fell to the ground and he worshiped God.
Amen.
Faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. When you're sold by your brothers into Egypt, I'm going to preach about him a little later on. When you're sold into Egypt by your brothers and you're a slave in a man's house and you're lied upon and cast into prison, and then the day comes when you can get revenge upon those that have done you wrong, faith in God says, don't be angry with yourselves that you did this to me, for God did this. God sent me down this road to preserve life. Friend, we don't know what God's doing. Amen. He's taken the liberty to not tell us everything. You know why? Because He's God. And He can do whatever He wants to do. But know this. That no matter what happens in your life, have faith in God.
Amen.
Have faith in God. Trust God. Believe God. Walk with God. Don't back up. Don't get to a place where fear rules your life. Come on now. Don't be afraid of every little thing that could go wrong. Amen. Because it probably will. Hallelujah. You say, well, the devil did it. No, it's not God and it's not the devil. It's just life. And I'm not going to buy insurance policies for everything that might go wrong and be insurance poor. You know what? I'm just going to pray and say, God, if the refrigerator goes down, you got a better one for me somewhere. Hallelujah. Amen. They're still making toilet paper. I just want to tell you that this morning. Talk about revenge. Praise God. I saw an article about the governor of California, and it made national news. Governor of California is about to run out of toilet paper in his house. And I said, yes, revenge. Amen. Isn't God good? Let's love him together this morning.